This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacia. With a word of caution for those with younger listeners, this segment might include some graphic language. Every year, thousands of migrants from Central America travel across Mexico in search of a better life in the United States. The journey is called the Beast. It is a treacherous ride. It is a leap onto the roofs of cargo trains headed more than 2,000 miles north. Oscar Martinez is an investigative journalist who's ridden the Beast 8 times and co-founder of ElFaro.net, one of the region's first digital newspapers. And Oscar Martinez joins us now on the program. Thank you for joining us. Nice to have you here.
It's
my pleasure to be here with you. Thank you for the invitation and the interest for this population, which seems to be anonymous in the United States.
And assisting us today is interpreter Ron Garcia. Ron, thank you, too.
Thank you.
So, Oscar, tell us about this. Who are the people who are riding the Beast?
Las personas centroamericanas.
So, Central American people that cross the border undocumented without papers and use a train to cross the border are basically, are principally from 3 different countries, Honduras, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. National Institute of Migration in Mexico estimated that 98% of people that come through Mexico crossing the border come from those 3 countries. And we're not talking about just a few people. Every year, the National Institute determines that there's 250,000 that are captured and trying to cross that border in the south border of Mexico. And I have to say that these are third-category immigrants. In other words, those who weren't able to pay a traffic, somebody to traffic them or transport them all the way to the United States. They're the migrants that decided to take a cargo train and to try to get as close as possible to the U.S. border, that once they arrived there, asked their family to pay the money so that somebody could help them cross the border. And it's also people who are exposed to this terrible humanitarian crisis in Mexico, principally since the year 2007, which is when a big gang of organized crime, the Mexican criminal organization, the Zetas, they understood that they could industrialize or organize the transport and the kidnapping of people. Kidnapping of women for prostitution, for sexual prostitution, and charging for different stops where migrants transit. So in Mexico, what we're in this hidden Mexico, what we're seeing is industrialized crime against undocumented people who try to come to the United States.
So tell us about the ride itself. These are people who are coming from various backgrounds in various countries. Are they paying for this part of the trip? Are they being guided, or are they just jumping this train by themselves? They're all alone. They're doing this on their own.
Esto lo hacen por su cuenta.
They do this by themselves. So I'll explain how the train works. These are private companies, cargo trains, that primarily transport different materials. They're not for passengers. So migrants arrive to the start station. They climb up. They get to the top of the train. And they go certain distances on top of the train to be able to advance in Mexico. They have to get down in some stations to take a different train. The problem is that the train in Mexico, it goes through the more hidden parts of Mexico. The Mexico that's far away from the capitals, from the big cities. The Mexico that's far away from the big highways. It's a Mexico that goes through small towns, small places that you never hear about. Tenosique, for example, Apizaco, Coatzacoalco, which are places that don't show up in the places we think of in Mexico, like Cancun or in the coast of Oaxaca or Mexico. So the big problem is that the police corporations in these small towns. They're small corporations that are made up of 8 men, maybe. And maybe they have a 38 caliber pistol. And they face against organized crime that has a lot of power, a lot of corruption power. So in the book, I emphasize that several times. The places where the undocumented Central American migrants go through in Mexico are places where the state is not the Mexican state, but it's organized crime. They're the ones who make the decisions. They decide how the town is organized and who's going to pass from that point.
Are the people who are taking this journey aware of the dangers before they set out?
Esa es una de las cuestiones más curiosas.
So that's one of the most interesting things.
Sí hay una concepción en Centroamérica.
Yes, there is some understanding in Central America that the Zetas are on the way. So they know they're going to have to go on a train, on top of a train. And they know that that's called a beast, that train. But the idea that we have in Central America of the migrants is thinking of the big economic engine that's going to carry us forward. We like to see our migrants as like a big equipment or like a T-shirt of the Los Angeles Lakers or like a big vehicle or like a better house for people in their country. So we've seen migrants in that kind of framework, in that light. So in our countries, there's monuments to the faraway brother, to the hero, the migrant hero. And all this history of all these violations to the rights is hidden. So this is my own opinion. But I think that all this idea in which we've clouded the travel of the migrants and all this responsibility we put on their shoulders
recala en que ellos no cuenten lo que sufren.
It's based on that they don't tell their stories of what happens when they travel.
Un migrante que va con esa idea de
a migrant that is going with that idea of being the economic engine, who's going to save the economic situation of his or her family, doesn't want to share how he was violated, raped in Chiapas, Mexico, or how he was kidnapped and beaten up by a caveman group in Tamaulipas, or how he was cold and hungry for 24 days in the roof of a train.
Por eso yo creo que
that's why I think the story that the media reproduces in Central America is success stories. The migrant that was able to start a business in Los Angeles and now is well off. The migrant that was able to start a small company in North Carolina and now is an example for many others. So we share a lot of those stories, and we don't share much about the humanitarian crisis.
Do you think the migrants themselves are reluctant to share their stories, or it's the media that doesn't want to carry those stories back in Central America?
Yo creo que los migrantes tienen una responsabilidad.
I think migrants have a direct responsibility with their families. I think as human beings, if I went through that trip and I know my son is going to do that same trip, I have a responsibility to share what happened.
Yo creo que la responsabilidad de la prensa es de otro.
I think the media, the responsibility of the media is at a different level. It's an obligation. It's not a responsibility. I understand media in some way. I understand that media wants to illuminate the hidden corners in our society so that corrupt people don't have an easy time being corrupt, so that it's easier for those who suffer from corruption to be able to escape that situation.
El de los migrantes centroamericanos en México es una de las
Central American migrants in Mexico. It's one of the most hidden things in Mexico right now. And media, during a long time, we've been like tourists. And that trip, we send a journalist for a week to write a sad story about migrants crossing the border. But that journalist doesn't really understand the complexity of what's happening there. They can't really explain in what way the way the organized crime control completely a whole town. What are the mechanisms in which they do that? But in these times, in which journalism tends to be like tourism in some places, I think we've stopped doing the work in the way that we need to do it. I think the issue of migration, to be able to understand it, needs to not be done in this journalistic tourism kind of angle, that we need them to travel with the migrants to be able to share the journey with them. Or like the master Richard Cappuccini said, to share a part of their lives, to be really be able to understand what it's like. So in Mexico, there's something very interesting which may happen here as well. When we talk about migration, journalists go to conferences and press centers and institutes of migration or of different institutions here that work on that. I've never seen a migrant in one of those rooms. I don't understand why we give so much importance and why we close our eyes to the official version. When we can go verify how things happen, so the question is, do we want to do it? And if the media is able to and willing to pay for that.
I want to get back to your personal experiences. You've ridden the beast 8 times. Were there times when you thought you weren't going to make it, that you were going to be killed, or that you wouldn't make it all the way through?
Yes, look, there were a couple of situations where we had to jump off the train because we found out that there were Zeta members in the train. Normally, the Zetas infiltrate people of the group, like they're migrants traveling, to be able to identify those migrants that can be kidnapped, that can be good candidates to be kidnapped. How do they identify those migrants that are making calls from a public phone, those migrants that don't buy food from the albergue but go and buy food somewhere else? So that means that it's a migrant who's receiving money from somebody in deposit so that their travel is more comfortable. So these people that are infiltrated identify these people. And when the train arrives to the next station, there's a Zeta group or commando that's waiting them to kidnap people who are signaled by the people who are infiltrated. In some moments, when we identify that these people, and I'm talking of us because it was a group of photographers, we would get off the train. We would have to jump off, but I have to say that the work that I was doing, the whole book of the Beast, which I was working for El Faro at Digital Media, they gave me a lot of time to plan my trips and a lot of time to stay at one stop, identify a trust group, and to be able to do the trip with them. One journalist with time is one who's going to live longer. And I think in terms of covering organized crime in complicated zones in Mexico, and that's a number one rule in journalism. And it's at the same time, journalism is not giving us that rule, time. If you want to understand something, you need time. If you want to understand somebody, you need time. If you understand how organized crime works, you need time. And we had enough time to do it in a safe way.
What's the message that you want to convey to your audience here in Durham and in the United States?
What I think is that people need to understand things. While they understand, it changes things. And so making all immigrants like they're the same is dangerous. Each group has their own history and they face their own difficulties.
El viaje de los migrantes centroamericanos.
The travel that Central American migrants who cross Mexico, the worst part of Mexico, who face the worst organized crime group that I've known in 10 years that I've known organized crime groups and continue to travel even though they understand those risks in Mexico. And that's a story of it that explains why they're migrating. I don't have another way of saying it. Who the hell is going to cross a hell if they don't have a real basic need of why to do it? Who's going to do it? Even if it's a poor house, who's going to leave their bed, even if it's a poor bed, to cross hell? It doesn't make sense to do it otherwise. So the trip of Central American migrants through Mexico explains something to the world. Migration is not going to stop, at least not in the next few years, not if you or you are going to see it.
Con lo cual tenemos que hacer algo que no sea necesariamente construir.
So we need to do something, not like building a wall to stop it, because it's been shown that was not effective. Those countries are very violent. The United States had a role in building those violent countries during the war years. It had an important role in building the violence during the massive deportation of gang members between 89 and 92. And many of the migrants are a product of that violence, of that terrible violence that was started in our country. Many migrants travel because they need to get back together with their families who left the country in the 1980s in a war in which the United States can say anything except not saying that they had a role to play and that a very direct role that they played there.
Yo creo que los migrantes
Central American migrants and their trips, their travels are the example that migration is not just a fun trip of people who want to come here because they want to take jobs from somebody else or they want to invade this country. It's a huge necessity. It's a human need. A need that's explained by one word, progress. To think that there's something different for us in life, to live in a country that's very violent, in a community that's very violent, with a miserable salary, and far away from half of your family.
Oscar Martinez, thank you so very much for talking with us.
Ha sido un gusto. Muchas gracias a ustedes.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Oscar Martinez is an investigative journalist for ElFaro.net, one of Central America's first digital newspapers. He will join me this evening at 7 o'clock at Immaculate Conception Fellowship Hall in Durham. It's part of the Duke Forum for Scholars and Publics, and you can find out more details about our conversation tonight at 7 at our website, stateofthings.org. And Ron Garcia, thank you for helping us interpret. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a new novel examines our language and relationship to technology. Stay with us.